Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I have not been sued by anybody for using that name. Although I guess I could be, if you're not careful. You don't know about these copyright laws. You've got to be careful using anything that is off the internet for any kind of production of your own. Let's say you have your own website, and you decide to cut and paste a picture off of somebody else's website, and you haven't done the research to find out whether that material is copyrighted. You can get sued for that because, why do I know that? Because I did get sued. Not in court. It was a threat. It was a threat of a lawsuit. And so it was unfortunate. I ended up having to pay them $2,500 to get them to not sue me for, I think, $50,000 is what they were trying to sue me for. Some lawyer in California, apparently what they do is they embed code into these pictures. And if you pull it off the internet and use it without authorization, you know, the sad thing is I could have, if I'd gone through the right channels, found out who took the picture, which was pretty easy to do in this particular case, and they would have licensed it to me, I think, for $12, I think is what it was. But I didn't do it. It was a guy that works for me that works on our websites, and we were building a website for a particular business of mine, and he just saw this picture that was appropriate for the point I was trying to make in that particular section of the website. And so he grabbed that picture, put it on our website, and somehow it was discovered through the internet, and so it ended up costing me a bunch of money. They call those self-inflicted wounds. That happened to me one other time. I had a sales manager working for me, and he was kind of shady after we got to know each other a little bit. Came from Phoenix, Arizona, and moved to East Tennessee for some reason and decided to apply for a job, and I hired him. And things were going along pretty good, I might say, until one day he said that he had ordered a camper for his dad. He had found it online and was going to buy it for his dad. I had just returned from a week vacation, and he said that he had had our office manager cut a check for the amount. It was like $32,000. And I said, well, what kind of motorhome was it? And he said, well, it was a diesel pusher. And immediately I said, what year? And he said, 2016. I said, this is impossible. You can't buy a diesel pusher motorhome, 2016 model, for $32,000. That makes no sense. And he said, well, matter of fact, it was supposed to be here last Saturday, the Saturday that you left on vacation, and it never showed up. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Where's the money? He said, well, we wired it to a bank, and we've already done what we could to try to get the wire back, and it's gone. I said, well, let me check into this. Number one, wasn't the motorhome for your dad? He said, yes. I said, why are you using my money to buy a motorhome for your dad? He said, well, we always buy vehicles for customers, and I just thought it was a good deal and decided to buy it. And quite frankly, we do that all the time. We buy vehicles speculatively for people who are may or may not end up buying the vehicle. We normally buy it for Gateway and not for, you know, the sales manager's father. But anyway, so we did a lot of investigation and found out that the account had already been closed. The money had been taken out of it. It was all one big fraud. And my sales manager he acted like he was ashamed of himself. And so anyway, long story short, he ends up disappearing one day and just not showing up to work. And I called him and called him. At that point, he finally answered the phone. He was passing through Louisiana, headed back to Arizona at that point. And I said, man, what are you doing? Why have you left? What about the money? He says, well, I'll pay you back. He never did. I ended up suing him. In the meantime, his father passes away, which is sad. I get it. But it was a fraud, and so I sued him in court in Tennessee, got a judgment, but since he lives in Arizona, I had no authority there. So I had to hire a lawyer in Arizona to get the case, what they call domiciled in the state of Arizona, so that I could actually go after him in terms of financially get a garnishment on his wages or whatever. So he was already working for a dealership in Arizona. And so tracked him down, and he agreed to the court that he would pay for, you know, reimburse me for the $32,000. Well, he did for about 2 months, and then he filed bankruptcy. So we were out $32,000. Folks, this happens to people all the time when they're not careful with their money, and they end up sending money to somebody that they don't know and that has no real credibility. Now, I sell a lot of vehicles to people all over the country, and the process that I use is, I have an advantage in terms of the business, you know, Gateway Ford, Gateway Nissan. People can Google it. You're going to find it. You're going to see my picture online and all that kind of stuff. So when I sell a vehicle to somebody, like on Bring a Trailer auction, let's say it's a $50,000 vehicle, then they're going to get a bill of sale from me, and then I'm going to give them the wiring instructions to where to send the money. And so, you know, of course, it comes to my local bank, and so they feel more comfortable doing that because I am an established business. You never want to do that with just an individual unless you actually know them. Now, another way to get around that is to hire an attorney where the people live and let them be an intermediary for you, and to put the money in escrow. So you send, they put the money in escrow, and then when the title is delivered to you, the car is delivered to you, then the money is released to those the people that you're buying the car from. You know, this is one way to handle that, but I don't know. It's just so many ways for people to get you these days, and you just have to be careful. Do your due diligence. I've heard that word a lot when it comes to real estate, but it applies to everything. You know, if you're dealing with an established business, you're typically okay. Although I remember a dealership, a Toyota dealership in Morristown, Tennessee, went out of business. And what was happening is people were basically trading in their cars, and the cars had payoffs. And the dealership was, because they had a cash crunch, basically, and they ran out of money, they were selling people cars, getting the contracts funded from the bank, you know, that was financing the car for the folks. But if the folks had a payoff on their trade-in, they weren't paying off those trades. And so the customers didn't really figure out until they got a notice from the bank, say, hey, you haven't made your last payment on your car. And they say, well, I traded that car. And they say, well, the loan hasn't been paid off yet. So they would call the dealership, and the dealership would say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, that one just slipped through the cracks, when it hadn't. In fact, there were several hundred of those that had happened that way. And the dealership just kept kicking the can down the road, as we say. And they eventually caught up with them, and people ended up going to jail, which they should. So if you trade your car and you have a payoff, and then let's say it's been 30 days, you get a notice that, you know, your payment is delinquent, you need to grab that piece of paper. If you got a piece of paper, you may have gotten a phone call, and go down to the dealership and say, okay, what's going on? Show me a copy of the check where you paid this car off, and please check on, see if the check has cleared the bank yet or not, because they are showing my note as not being paid. Now, I guess you could handle that through the phone, but I don't know. It's just something about your presence can make a difference. So if you see that happening with anybody, small used car dealer, an individual, or especially a new car dealer, go find out what's going on, because it's costing you interest. It could impact your credit, and you may be the victim of a scam if you're not careful. And folks, your homeowner's insurance probably won't pay for that, nor will your car insurance. You may get stuck with that debt and have a real fight on your hands. So just something else to worry about, right? Like, we need something else to worry about. But we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back, folks. You know, welcome to the world of shortages. It seems like everywhere I go, Inventories are down. I was in one of my favorite retailers not too long ago, and it looks like they have about, I don't know, two-thirds of the inventory that they would normally have. The car buying experience, it's just a totally different world right now for people, especially when it comes to new cars. New car inventory at dealerships all over the nation is extremely limited. Demand for new cars, however, is high, and so is the demand for used cars, and it's really continuing to push up on used car values. The reason? There just aren't enough computer chips in the world. You know, what caused this thing? You know, we've talked about it some, but, you know, it's all about supply chain problems, and it's all the result of the pandemic. Now, with lots of people working from home and spending most of their time inside in early 2020, demand for consumer electronics skyrocketed. And basically at the same time, car dealerships started cutting back on ordering parts with computer chips, ordering cars, expecting the pandemic to greatly reduce the demand. Now, the auto industry turned around a whole lot quicker than people thought it would. That meant auto manufacturers needed to ramp things up and produce a lot more cars, which required more semiconductor chips, and unfortunately by then, the little transistors were already in short supply. According to Joe McCabe, CEO of Auto Forecast Solutions, he told the Detroit Free Press, which is still a newspaper, everyone's lights went off at the same time. This means that there was no ability to build inventory of products and solutions when businesses were able to turn their lights back on. This created a significant bottleneck in all manufacturing processes. You know, the ramifications of the chip shortage and automobile production slowdowns are hitting car dealerships hard. Here's an example of a Philadelphia car dealer, David Keller. He told the Wall Street Journal in May that his inventory was the lowest it had ever been. Usually he keeps close to 700 cars on his lot, and in May he had less than 100. Now, silver lining, demand for new vehicles is so high that prices have risen accordingly. The average selling price of a new car in the United States has gone over $40,000 for the first time. Hard to believe. So buyers are kind of in a tough spot. The cost of a new vehicle is much higher than usual. And even if you can't afford to pay those higher prices, there's no guarantee you'll see your new vehicle anytime soon. In some cases, buyers are waiting weeks, if not months. You know, the same thing has hit us with the Ford Bronco and also with just about everything that we sell. And it doesn't matter what brand you're selling. There are just not many vehicles out there. But people still want to buy things when they want to. And when they need them, they've got to find a source somewhere, and they're willing to pay whatever it takes to get it. I had a plumbing company call me from, and happened to be a friend of mine, otherwise he wouldn't be calling me, from Florida, saying that he needed a bunch of Ford Transit vans. And I have searched the world over trying to find them. That reminds me of the line from Hee Haw. I searched the world over and thought I found true love. She met another and she was gone. I'm not even sure you can do that on the air. I just did. I don't know what they're going to do about it. Maybe I'll get a fine. Okay, so let's talk about something really serious. Sunroofs. Do you have a sunroof in your car? Or a moonroof? I'm not sure why they call them moonroofs. Do you call it roof or roof? I'm just going to go with roof. Sunroof. That's the way I say it. If you have one in your car, you may have faced a dilemma at some point where it was leaking and or it wouldn't open or it wouldn't close. I've had both of those things happen. You have a situation in some cases, especially if you own one of these big panoramic roofs. There I go. I see I'm all confused now. So what do you do when you have a leak? Well, more than likely, it's a drain that has become stopped up. And they have built-in drain systems. And, you know, because we often park under trees or, you know, driving around, we'll have something fall on our car, and over time that builds up the dirt and pollen and all that, and it goes and it clogs up the drains just like it does at the drain in your kitchen sink. And when that happens, the water has no place to go and ends up overflowing and getting your headliner all wet. Actually, sometimes it will show up as just wet carpet because it finds its way down the A or the B pillar and then gets down in there. And then you've got, if you let something like that go, you can end up with that mildewy smell that nobody likes. So I think the most important thing that you can do is just open up your sunroof occasionally and find where the drains are and just make sure that they're clear. And, of course, you can run water in them and see if they're flowing good. If not, you may have to have a technician actually go in there and clean them out. Another thing is just don't park under trees. You know, just stay away from those boogers, and you'll probably not have an issue. I remember when sunroofs were kind of a new thing. When I first got into the car business, it was all about T-tops. I remember the Camaros and the Monte Carlos and all the issues that we had. People would say, "Was this going to leak?" And we say, "Not if you never take them out. But if you take them out one time and put them back in, they're going to leak." You know, that's the best answer, because they say, I'll buy one without a sunroof, or I'll just take my chances. And so, but they don't make T-tops anymore, thank goodness. They realized that that was a bad idea. Just go ahead and put a big sunroof in or do a convertible. We have no problems with tops leaking these days unless, you know, like I say, somebody lets it go and it gets the drain gets clogged up. We do have some problems with some of the hardware occasionally, that the sunroofs get need some additional lubrication on some of the functioning hardware there. And of course, that gets ignored, just like everything else does. I mean, when you go in to get your oil changed, you don't say, "Hey, could you lubricate my sunroof for me?" Nobody really thinks of that, but you really should. You know, put a little grease on some of those parts, and they'll end up lasting longer as long as it doesn't interact with the glass of the sunroof or moonroof. So anyway, just a little tip for you. Let's take our last break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Okay, I want you to imagine for a second that you're a piece of leather, and you reside on the car seat of a car. And your owner gets in you every day and wallers all over you and squirms and drives and rides and sweats and does all that business and then parks you out in the hot sun, and you get to sit there in 140 degrees for about 6 to 8 hours a day. You would look bad too after about 2 or 3 years. I had a customer trade in a car the other day, leather seats, and they looked like new and the car was 5 years old. And I said, "If you don't mind my asking, how did you keep your leather looking this good?" And they said, "Well, they take care of it. They clean it with saddle soap, and then they use a leather conditioner for the leather itself." So I just decided I would pass that on. Leather conditioner contains oils and other natural ingredients that mimic the natural oils of leather. So if you apply leather conditioner to your leather car upholstery, you're essentially keeping the leather from succumbing to dryness, as well as adding a layer of protection. A good rule of thumb, according to experts, is to apply leather conditioner once a month to keep the leather looking its best. Now, who's going to do that? Well, you know, you pay $60,000, $70,000 for a car, and occasionally we go to the car wash and do stuff, and we use a vacuum, but very rarely do we do anything to leather. Now, if we have cloth seats, what do? We get a stain on it, you put, you know, stain remover, whatever, and that takes care of the problem. But leather, we think it's, indestructible, but it's not. It's skin, right? And it's important for us to keep it moisturized. My wife is always saying, "Why, your hands are so dry. Why don't you put something on them?" I said, "Well, I don't really like to. It makes them smell funny." And she says, "Well, get the kind that doesn't have any odor to it." And I said, "Okay." So I tried it, and after a while, my hands look very nice. I could be in a commercial. I could be a hand model. But that's not going to happen. Take care of your leather. You know, give it the treatment that it deserves. Maybe not, you know, once a month. Maybe you could do it every 90 days or whatever. Just put it on your calendar, and I'm going to give my leather a spa treatment. Maybe your leather seats will continue to look good. You know, what I see is just the cracking. You know, after 2 or 3 years, it doesn't take that long for leather to start to deteriorate, especially where you get in and out of the vehicle. And the more conditioner that you put on it, I'm sure the longer it's going to last. Also helps in color retention, apparently. And there are a lot of different brands that you can look at. You know, most of these are available at auto parts stores. Meguiar's is always a good brand. They make everything for the outside, the inside. The conditioner is probably made specifically for the use in cars because of the varying temperatures and all the stuff that can happen. But this is just something that a lot of people don't think about. And, you know, you're going to be sitting on them on a regular basis. You want them to be nice and supple and comfortable, right? So take care of your leather. It deserves it. It needs all the help it can get. It works under pretty demanding conditions like your car engine does. Of course, you're going to tear in your leather seat. It's not that big of a deal compared to an engine problem, but it sure does pay dividends when you go to trade your car. It can make a difference in the value. All you have to do is just treat it right. So anyway, that's it for today, and appreciate you listening in, and we'll see you tomorrow.